Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 5, Vidura Talks with Maitreya, text number 51. Tato vayam at pramukha yad arte. Babu vimatman karavama kemte. Tvam nak svachakshu paridehi satya. Deva kriyarte yad anugrahanam. Tata. Therefore. Vayam. All of us. Mat. Pramukha. Coming from the total cosmos, the Mahat Tattva, Yat Arate, for the purpose of which, Babu Vima, created Atman, O Supreme Self. Karavama shall do kim what te your service twam yourself na to us swachakshu personal plan paridehi specifically grant us Shaktya, with potency to work. Deva, O Lord, Kriya Arate, for acting. Yet, from which, Anugrahanam, of those who are specifically favored. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Self. I think I should read it first. Unless you know the rest of the verse and you can cite it. O Supreme Self, please give us who are created in the beginning from the Mahatattva, the total cosmic energy, your kind directions on how we shall act. Kindly award us your perfect knowledge and potency so that we can render you service in the different departments of subsequent creation. Now you can repeat. O Supreme Self, please give us who are created in the beginning from the Mahatattva. The total cosmic energy. Your kind directions. On how we shall act. Kindly award us. Your perfect knowledge and potency. So that we can render you service. In the different departments of subsequent creation. Purport. The Lord creates this material world and impregnates the material energy with the living entities who act in the material world. All these actions have a divine plan behind them. The plan is to give the conditioned souls who so desire a chance to enjoy sense gratification. But there is another plan behind the creation. To help the living entities realize that they are created for the transcendental sense gratification of the Lord and not for their individual sense gratification. This is the constitutional position of the living entity. The Lord is one without a second, and he expands himself into many for his transcendental pleasure. All these expansions, the Vishnu Tattvas, the Jiva Tattvas, the Shakti Tattvas, the personalities of Godhead, the living entities and the different potential energies are different offshoots from the same one Supreme Lord. The Jiva Tattvas are separate expansions of the Vishnu Tattvas, and although there are potential differences between them, they're all meant for the transcendental sense gratification of the Supreme Lord. Some of the Jivas, however, wanted to lord over material nature in imitation of the lordship of this personality of Godhead. Regarding when and why such propensities overcame the pure living entities, it can only be explained that the Jiva Tattvas have infinitesimal independence, and that due to misuse of this independence, some of the living entities have become implicated in the conditions of cosmic creation and are therefore called Nityabhadas, or eternally conditioned souls. The expansions of Vedic wisdom also give the Nityabhadas, the conditioned living entities, a chance to improve, and those who take advantage of such transcendental knowledge gradually regain their lost consciousness of rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord. The demigods were among the conditioned souls who have developed this pure consciousness of service to the Lord, but who at the same time continue to desire to lord over the material energy. Such mixed consciousness puts the conditioned soul in the position of managing the affairs of this creation. The demigods are entrusted leaders of the conditioned souls, as some of the old prisoners in government jails are entrusted with some responsible work of prison management, so the demigods are improved conditioned souls acting as representatives of the Lord in the material creation. Such demigods are devotees of the Lord in the material world, and when completely free from all material desire to lord it over the material energy, they become pure devotees and have no desire but to serve the Lord. Therefore, any living entity who desires a position in the material world may desire so in the service of the Lord and may seek power and intelligence from the Lord as exemplified by the demigods in this particular verse. One cannot do anything unless he is enlightened and empowered by the Lord. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vatak smritir gyanam apavanam cha. All recollections, knowledge, etc., as well as all forgetfulness, are engineered by the Lord, who is sitting within the heart of everyone. The intelligent man seeks the help of the Lord, and the Lord helps the sincere devotee engaged in his multifarious services. The demigods are entrusted by the Lord to create different species of living entities according to their past deeds. They are herein asking the favor of the Lord, the intelligence and power to carry out their task. Similarly, any conditioned soul may be engaged in the service of the Lord under the guidance of an expert spiritual master and thus gradually become freed from the entanglement of spiritual existence. The spiritual master is the manifested representative of the Lord, and anyone who puts himself under the guidance of a spiritual master and acts accordingly said to be acting in terms of Buddha Yoga, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita 2:41. Vyavisayatmaka Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana Bahu Shakayanantascha Buddhi O Vyavisayinam. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. So the text again. Tovayam at Pramukha Yadarte, Pahuvi Matman Karavam Akimte, Pram Naswit Chakshu Paridehi Saktya, Deva Kriyarte Yadanugrahanam. O Supreme Self, please give us who are created in the beginning from the Mahatattva the total material energy, the total cosmic energy, your kind directions on how we shall act. Kindly award us your perfect knowledge and potency so we can render you service in the different departments of subsequent creation. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadyade Siddharane. So I'm happy to be back here in Mahaprabhu Mandir. And this is a very instructive verse to teach us how to become Krishna conscious. The background of Krishna consciousness is some preliminary understanding of what's actually going on. So what's actually going on is not so easy for us to accept. It may be easier to theoretically understand, but to actually realize is a little difficult. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in different places says that we're actually not the doer. So that's a little difficult for us to understand because we feel ourselves be the doer. That's our experience in the material world. But according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, anadidvam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam shrira stopikondiya nakaroti nanlipyate. That those who can actually see with the eyes of eternity. Of course, we're seeing, but we're not necessarily seeing from the transcendental point of view. But those who can actually see from the point of eternity can see that the soul is eternal. Well, that's good. Transcendental and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. So it's good to find out that we're not entangled by the material energy, although we feel ourselves quite involved in what's going on here. But that involvement is exactly like watching a movie. Someone may be emotionally involved in the movie, may consider that I become more or less identify oneself with the hero, because nowadays sometimes people identify themselves with the villain. But identify themselves as someone in the movie and become so emotionally involved in the movie that one actually feels happiness when the hero or the villain wins. And one feels distress when there is some danger to the hero, the villain, to the person we identify with. So we're not actually in the movie. We're not James Bond. We're not Marilyn Monroe. We're not Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse. We're none of these personalities. Although the whole idea of the movie is to help involve us in some other experience so that we can get some emotion and feeling from that experience. So in the same way, according to Bhagavad Gita, we're actually not these bodies. We're actually a transcendental personality with a spiritual identity, with a spiritual body and form, with spiritual, originally spiritual activities. But now we've become so much involved in this material experience of the activities in the material body, and more so probably of the mind, and even more of our conception of life, and even above all that, our false ego. It's one thing to give up our activities. For instance, I may be eating too much. And therefore I feel sick after eating, so after some time I decide I should eat less. Now my idea is not some benevolent resolution to save all living entities, I'm going to eat less. It's simply, I don't want to suffer, that's all. It's very simple. I don't want to suffer, so therefore I'm going to eat less. And indeed, one will start regulating one's eating habits because one does not want to suffer in the material energy, too much at least. Now, I've changed my activity. Atihara, eating too much, adyashnatas to yogosti na chaikanta manashnata. And similarly, I may go to sleep on time, and they get up on time, whatever. So that's relatively easier to change than my mind, the way I feel. It's very difficult. When we're in love, it's very hard not to be in love. And when we're averse to something, it's very hard not to be averse, because we're very much attached to our feelings, even more so than our activities. As a matter of fact, usually our activities are meant to augment our feelings. But somehow or another, it is possible, if we can do one thing, if we can change our conception of life. Because, of course, we may change our feelings if they don't feel good to us. But that's another, just like we change our physical activities because they don't feel good to us. Or we want to do something that we think will feel good. Similar with our mental proclivity, I love you, but now I don't love you anymore, because it doesn't feel good to me to love you. And similarly, I hate you, but if we can make an alliance together, now we become friends because we have some mutual interest. So with my intelligence, when I see what my interest is, then I may change even my feelings. But above it all is my ego, the whole drama that somehow or another I'm going to become the hero or the heroine in this great drama I think I'm part of. Now that false ego is very difficult to change. Matter of fact, practically speaking, it's not possible to change, because unless we take something above it, just like with our intelligence we can change our activities, with our intelligence we can even change our feeling. But there has to be something above our intelligence, with our sense of ego, what's good for me and what's not good for me, we can change our intelligence. But how to change our false ego? That's only possible when we identify ourselves with something superior to the false ego. Namely, we can identify ourselves either as a soul, and therefore not to take our false ego so as something, the ultimate purpose of our existence, to cultivate our false ego, to cultivate my identity as the hero or heroine in some drama. Now the hero has won the lady, now the hero has lost the lady, now the hero is victorious, now the hero is dying. Everyone, 1, 2, 3, cry. Oh, the hero's and now I go on to my other dramas, my Nitya Leela. Now I take birth again, and now again I'm the hero or the heroine. Oh, goo, 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 ah. Pinch me, go ahead, touch me, you can touch me. But above the false ego, if there's a soul, if I'm actually a soul, and if there's actually a supreme super soul guiding me, and I'm this super soul servant, and then even above the super soul, there's an all-attractive supreme person, Bhagavan or Krishna, then we can change the soul. So Krishna and Bhagavan are determination to serve our false ego. In other words, we can change the drama from somehow or another, I need attention, I need support for the hero, my body, my mind, my conception of life, my false ego. I need support from others, and those who support me, they're devotees, they're part of the Daiva class, and those who don't support me, they're innocent, they can be converted. And those who are not supporting me, they're the asuras in this world. And as I said in the Bhagavad Gita, I've come to protect my dependents, my devotees. I've come to vanquish the asuras, and I've come to teach the innocent how to worship me. So Bhagavad Gita is a very good book that I spoke, people are thinking. There's a lot of good knowledge, I just forgot it, that's all. Now I remember, oh yeah, it was 5,000 years ago, I was talking to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and I enlightened him. No, actually we have to take up the mood that I'm eternal. First of all, let us accept that I'm transcendental and that there can be another drama going on called devotional service, where my whole mood is not to put me in the center, my body, ultimately me, because my ego, my false ego, my intelligence, my conception of life, my feelings, my mind, my activities, they're all supposed to ultimately glorify me, the soul, behind who I think is behind the whole thing. But we have to, instead of putting ourselves, or who we think ourselves to be, in the center of existence, we have to learn how to put Krishna in the center. Then, anadidvam nirgunadva paramatmayam avyam sharira stopikantya na karoti na lalipyate. Nor are we doing anything. So one thing to think, I'm transcendental, that's very nice, but just see all the nice things I've learned how to do while I was in the material energy. No, na karoti, not doing anything. Of course, we are doing something, otherwise we'd just simply be a poor victim here in the material world. Krishna threw us here for some reason. I was just walking down the street of Vrindavan and Krishna was in a bad mood, picked me up and threw me into the material world. And ever since then, I've been a poor victim. I've tried very hard to appease Krishna, but he's very angry with me for some reason. No, we're not doing anything, but we are doing something. We're desiring. And what are we desiring? We're desiring according to whatever my conception of life is. If my conception of life is I'm this body, I'm the mind, and I have to guard my false ego, then that's how I'll desire. Just like the demigods is explained here, they're devotees of Krishna, but they're also in materialistic, they're in material conception of life. I am Indra, I am Chandra, I am Agni, I am Urvashi or someone. So they desire, they take shelter of Krishna. Please, Krishna, help me serve my false ego. And Krishna is very kind. He gives all kinds of power and intelligence to those who are trying to serve their false ego. If they're demigods in the mode of goodness, then Krishna empowers them to serve in the mode of goodness. And if they're in the modes of ignorance, then Krishna also gives intelligence and power to serve in that particular mode. But after all, the ultimate aim is to serve the material energy in some form or another. But it's some service to Krishna for the demigods. So there may be in the future for the demigods, or in our case for the neophyte devotee, by serving Krishna, then gradually, by coming in contact with Krishna, we may get enough experience to think, yeah, Krishna is a pretty nice person. Maybe I should do something for him too. Because he's very sweet. And I was always looking to have a nice relationship with a sweet person. So why don't I have a nice relationship with him too? So that may gradually turn into some kind of not only dutiful activity to get something in return from Krishna, but even an attraction for Krishna. That let me do something for him to actually please him. In other words, one starts to realize that Krishna actually is the source of all love and affection. And since I'm looking for love and affection, why don't I develop an affectionate, loving relation with him? And therefore do my service not to get something back materially from him, but to actually develop my affectionate relationship with him. Then we can see that actually what I'm doing is desiring. When I desire in terms of the material energy, then I have activities. And when I desire in terms of the spiritual energy, I have activities also. But one activity is to somehow or another put me, my false ego, or my intelligence, my conception of life, or my feelings, or my activities in the center. And the other is to put Krishna in the center. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it rather simple. Because in this age, a whole lot of philosophy will not necessarily bring us to perfection. We need a certain amount of philosophy, or else we won't know what we're doing or why we're doing it. Unless I'm convinced that I'm actually a spiritual person, then I'll always be doing my activities for my material, who I think is my material self. So some background has to be there, but ultimately some understanding that my real relationship is with Krishna. It's not with this temporary body that I happen to be hovering around it, that I happen to be presently conscious of, and soon I'll be conscious of some other circumstances. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it simple. What is the service to utilize this body for? Of course, we know we're supposed to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And simultaneously cultivate knowledge of what we're doing when we're chanting Hare Krishna. It's good to chant Hare Krishna, but it's also even better to find out what we're doing when we're chanting Hare Krishna. We're actually calling for Lord Krishna, we're calling for his internal energy, Srimati Radharani, to engage us in their loving service. So if we're not, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, if we're not feeling directly Krishna's presence, at least, if not above that, directly experiencing Krishna's, if we're not in Goloka Vrindavan when we chant Hare Krishna or Vaikuntha, that's because, as we bahu janma kari shavana kirtana, we have some material attachment, or we have a lot of material attachment. And therefore we don't really chant sincerely. We're not really calling out to Srimati Radharani and calling out to Krishna, please, please engage me in your loving service. Or as that priest prayed to Krishna, please make me celibate, but not quite yet. Wait a little while. So similarly, we're calling Hare Krishna, my dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, my dear Lord, please engage me in your loving service, but not quite yet. I got a lot of things to do in the material world, and please don't spoil it. If I develop too much love for you, I might become distracted. Therefore, we have to study, we have to hear the philosophy, study, and at the same time, practice. And not only, of course, chanting Hare Krishna itself is practicing, but we may not know how to chant, and therefore our practicing won't develop so much. We have to also know, we hear we're supposed to pay attention. But that, even that is not sufficient, because we won't pay attention unless we know what we're paying attention to. Just to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then try to listen is very good because we're paying attention. But that's not the perfection. As Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's mind and then giving one's love to Krishna. We also have to do some service, give our love to Krishna. Not just pay attention, and then after try to pay attention, then we go out in the material world, and we ourselves, we want everyone to pay attention to us. I paid attention to Krishna, now I'm empowered, all right, everyone give me your attention. No, to go out and in the world and what? Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh Amar Aga Gurahana Tari Desh. Whoever we meet, we're supposed to try to help them become Krishna conscious. That's the meaning of Gopi Bharata Padakamala Yara Dasa Dasa Anudasa Naham Vipra Nacharnara Patira Naham Vapi Nasudro. That I'm not this body. I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Brahmachari or a Grihastha or a Vanaprastha or a Sannyasi. I'm Gopi Bharata Padakamala Yara Dasa Dasa Anudasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So what does that mean? Now, I've taken initiation in the Hare Krishna movement, so now I've gotten service to my spiritual master, and he'll protect me. And although I may offend or neglect or everyone else, but my spiritual master guaranteed he's going to deliver me anyhow. So now I'm on the safe side. Watch out, everyone else. No, as it mentions here, the spiritual master is supposed to train us so that we learn how to become a proper servant of Krishna's servants. And what is that service? Somehow or another, help everyone, whoever we meet, develop their relation with Krishna. That there is no one in this world we're authorized to offend. I've gotten authorization. I love the devotees. I love certain numbers of the devotees. But there's a certain group of people, according to my understanding of the scripture, I'm authorized to neglect or offend or to talk about the cricket match. To some or another, I'm not really supposed to help you become Krishna conscious because we're friends. We've made a deal with each other, a pact with the devil. No, everyone we meet, whoever we meet, we're supposed to meditate on how can I act, how should I think, what is my proper conception, and how to put Krishna in the center of the relationship. Because if Krishna is in the center of the relationship, then automatically my ego, my false ego goes away. My conception of life changes, my feelings will change, and my activities change also. Then, nimitra matram bhava savasa chin, or Krishna said to Arjuna, tasmatvam utishtya sholavasva jitvas shatrum bhuktva rajan samaridam nimnita Mayaivata niyatam purvameva nimitra matram bhavasavasachin. Just get up and prepare to fight. So Krishna wanted Arjuna to be active. Of course, he's not telling us to get up and fight. He wants us to fight. Of course, in one sense, we're supposed to fight against the illusory energy. Therefore, get up and prepare to fight. And after conquering your enemy, you'll enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They're already put to death by my arrangement, and your savasachi can be but an instrument in the fight. So that's all we're trying to be, is an instrument. We're trying to pray to Krishna, please Krishna, what can I do, what can I say, how should I think, in order to help this living entity make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So for those who are preachers who go out and distribute books, that should be their meditation, how to help this person get a book and become conscious of Krishna, not how to manipulate this person so I get one more book point or two more book points. Or, and then we get Lakshmi from this person, we squeeze some Lakshmi out of them so that we get some prasad. You have something to offer to the deities. No, the meditation is how to help this person become conscious of Krishna, how to make advance in their relationship. That's why we go in Harinam, to help others and ourselves become conscious of Krishna. That's why we distribute prasad. And similarly, it is not that only when we go out, distribute books, only when we're distributing prasadam, only when we're chanting Hare Krishna, then we help others. And then other than that, I'm free to do whatever I want. Prabhupada was chanting on his beads one day. He got up to 16 rounds. He put this final bead down, counter bead down, took off his bead bag, threw it on the table, told Hari Sariprabhu, "Now I've finished my 16 rounds, I can do any damn thing I want." No, we have to consider that my wife, my children, manasadeho, geho, yo kichimora, arpulutuya pade, nandi kishora. That my wife, my children, my mind, everything else now I'm offering to you, to nandi kishora, in your service. So that means that the wife meditates on how to help the husband and the children and everyone else become conscious of Krishna, and the husband does the same thing. And the children too, they're trained up like that. And Prabhupada's formula, of course, was they sit down morning and evening, they chant Hare Krishna together, they hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Parashparam, amongst themselves, they're helping each other become Krishna conscious, and that's the perfection of family life. And then when they become practiced in that, then they also tell their friends, their relatives, whatever they can do. Of course, they have to maintain themselves, and they're supposed to maintain the other ashrams too. So there is other services they may have to do. And there is somehow or another, when they're dealing with non-devotees, they can't tell them directly about Krishna, but because they're utilizing our energies in the service of Krishna, therefore whatever they're doing is to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we practice like that, then gradually, Krishna will reveal himself, and then gradually we'll become attracted to Krishna, and our motivation will become eventually purified, so that we're simply trying to do things to please Krishna. In the beginning, we have to use our intelligence. I'm not this body. I'm not my false ego. I'm not my material conception of life. I'm not my feelings. I'm not these activities. I'm actually Krishna's servant. We should become convinced like that, and then everything else will follow. Evam bude puram budva. Samstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatru mahabaho kamarupam darashadam. Knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, the material mind and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Of course, we have to say, not only Hum Brahmasmi, but Krishna Das, Krishnera Nitya Das.
You're still associating ourselves with the body of the mind by putting ourselves in that platform of being a Krishna.
Shivara Srupahoy, Krishnera Nitya Das? No, the actual position of myself, I'm Krishna's servant. We may still be identified with the body, but then we have to find out what Krishna wants me to do with the body. And if I find out through the Krishna's representatives what he wants me to do, and then I do that, then my identification with Krishna will strengthen. Krishna will reveal himself more to me. He'll give me more intelligence to how I am Krishna's servant. Gradually he'll take away this illusory identification. The more consistently, the more enthusiastically I find out what Krishna wants me to do and then do that to please him, then the more my conception will change from being material das to Krishna das. Well, the perfection is, but that's explained, that it's a gradual, first we go through Shravana Dasa, hearing about Krishna, and then we practice devotional service. Then we come to the realization stage gradually, where it's actually things are revealed to us. And then as we practice on that platform, and we come to the actual Krishna conscious platform. We become more and more conscious of Krishna. And then one day we come to the stage of samadhi where we're fully conscious of Krishna. Sampati das. And our actual identity in relation with Krishna is revealed. No, one is aware of who we actually are. One is directly in Krishna's association. One knows one is situated in one's spiritual existence, one's spiritual body, actually. It's like at night we're dreaming, I may be a king or a queen. And then we wake up and we realize I'm not a king or queen, I'm this body. And when we wake up from this bodily identification, we'll realize who we actually are. Yes.
You commonly hear people might say, you just love my body, you don't love me. I think that's common, mainly amongst maybe attractive females or something, and lusty men or lusting after them. They may say that you don't love me, you just love my body. Is that the soul identifying with the subtle body as the self?
Usually it is. They think there are people who think, I'm not only my body, I'm also my mind. Why don't you serve my desires? It's more or less, you're trying to exploit my body, why don't you allow me to exploit you by you fulfilling my desires? But they're right. They're right. Doesn't love you, he's trying to exploit your body. You don't love him, you're trying to exploit him for your fulfilling your desires. But neither of you know actually who you are. Yes. Maybe. Prabhupada, I think he got it from Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada said, someone asked him, if I don't feel like dancing, should I dance during kirtan? And Prabhupada said, yes, you should dance, and then you'll feel like dancing after some time. But that's in devotional service. Just trying to act enthusiastically may not make you enthusiastic. If you're trying to do something for Krishna's service, you try and act enthusiastically, then Krishna will give you the intelligence how to be enthusiastic.
You're saying that doesn't apply to material enthusiasm?
No, I mean, you can become very enthusiastic about something, and later on you'll find out that actually what you're doing is all wrong. You may become enthusiastic to put your leg behind your neck, and you may do it and break your leg, and your enthusiasm will go away. Anything else? Yes.
You were saying how we should have that mood of whoever we meet, that we should like aspire to try and help them. So how can we do that when we ourselves aren't Krishna conscious?
Read Prabhupada's books, chant Hare Krishna. It'd be pretty hard for anyone here probably to say when we meet someone, we have no idea what to tell them. At least we can say Hare Krishna. Just like when Dhruva Maharaj was boarding the Vaikuntha airplane to go back to the spiritual world, and the Vishnu Dutas came to bring him there, he was so in ecstatic he didn't know what to say, so he just said Hare Krishna. So that was perfect. Yes. Well, when you meet Krishna, then you'll know. When we experienced pleasure beyond anything possible in the material world, then we know there must it must be beyond the material world. When we become aware of actually what's going on, then we know it's something different. It's not that when one becomes Krishna conscious, he gets four arms and four heads. The consciousness changes when it's able to understand things more clearly. All right, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande.